What if I said to you today that if you will bring, let's say maybe a Kleenex box here, empty Kleenex box, and if you will invest $100 and just put it in that box, just a $100 bill, a year from now, we could tear that box open and you'd have $10,000. That'd be a pretty good investment, and we'd all be real happy to invest in that. That's a pretty good return, isn't it? So it wouldn't be hard for us to dig out that $100 bill, that Benjamin Franklin, and put it in that box because we know the return would be so great. Well, the Lord loves a cheerful giver, but that what that really is a cheerful investor. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning by the help of the Lord. John, the 6th chapter, and the 9th verse, it said, there is a lad here, they had a great company of people. Now this happened more than once, but this is the way they fed this group of people. It said, the 2nd verse, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now that just blows my mind. To think that you were in the company of 5,000 men. Now that's just the men. There was not accounting for the women and the children. So there were more than 5,000. There were at least 10,000 to 15,000 people there, milling around and listening to Jesus' words. And he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. There was leftovers. Everybody was sufficiently fed, but there was leftovers. They had leftovers. And it started out with the lad's lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Do you know when we willingly give the Lord our lunches, he is able to feed thousands. But sometimes all we can think of is it's just a small lunch. What is this? What was the question? But what are they among so many? Lord, I don't have much to give you. What is that among all the needs that are out there? The Lord multiplies it. Just as though we had put that $100 bill in that box and it expanded to 10,000. Look what he did when he fed those thousands of people. And there was leftovers. You know, when we give to the Lord cheerfully, when we invest to the Lord cheerfully, he is able to do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And I'm so thankful for that. There's another little story here of John, the 12th chapter, and the 1st verse. Well, it's the same woman, but let's go look at her in a different light. Luke, the 10th chapter. Let's do that one first. Luke 10 and 38, if you will. We have here a situation of two sisters. And we have always read this story, and I've often thought about it. It seemed a little unfair that Martha was in serving only, and Mary could sit at the feet of Jesus. And it seemed unfair to me. Well, why wasn't Mary helping Martha? But I would like to dig a little deeper, knowing the propensities of women. And I'd like to just put a little of my insight on this little reading, okay? And I don't think it takes from it. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. What a wonderful occasion. What a wonderful thing to have Jesus come to your house. And she was obviously a gracious hostess because she invited him in. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. There were some choices made here, and there were some investments made here. This was Jesus, the Son of God. Mary chose to sit at his feet. And I look at that household, and you know in those days, they all had chores. They could not leave it all to one person. And I have a hunch that there may have been a procrastinator there, and there may have been a very well-organized person there. The well-organized had got their work done and was able to sit at Jesus' feet. Because there's no way in those kind of households that only one person did it all. But the one that was doing it all at this point in time, I've often wondered, was she not just particularly prepared? Or maybe she had overwhelmed herself with the details. Or perhaps had decided that it's going to have to be a certain way when it could have been so much simpler. Does that make sense? It might have been a more complicated dessert rather than a simple one. It might have been a more complicated meal. Somehow Mary's choice was different than Martha's. And we don't have all the details, but I also know that sometimes procrastinators get things done at the last minute because they enjoy the pressure of that, but it also causes them to miss out on so many other things. And I feel like Martha missed out. Martha missed out. She had already started out gracious, as a gracious hostess, accepting him into her house, and that was beautiful, and that was lovely. But somehow she got cumbered. It says she was cumbered with much serving. Do you know, we can be that kind of giver. We can be an organized, fully intentful giver with the intent of spending time at the Lord's feet. Or we can be a bit haphazard and disorganized in our giving, and then we're frustrated by what we're supposed to be doing. It's now no longer a joy to us, it is now just a duty. Lord, don't you care that I'm having to do all the work? And the Lord didn't necessarily cast her down. He just said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But Mary is not. Mary was a cheerful giver. She gave of her time to the Lord. She gave of herself to the Lord because she realized, this man won't always be here, and I want to spend every moment with him. And many times in our lack of planning, I'm going to say it that way, we can become encumbered and lose time with the Savior. And I look at that and I think, how cheerful are you investing? Or is it now just a duty to you? Is it now just something I need to perform now? Is it just something I need to do? And that's not what the Lord wants out of our lives at all. So let's go on in the study, Mary, again in the John, the 12th chapter. Same Mary. John 12 and 1. Then 6 days, Jesus, 6 days. Now this is relevant, I do believe. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. 6 days before the Passover. What happened with Jesus at the Passover? This is where he came to be crucified. But it was 6 days before, where Lazarus had, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now we have Mary again. She's not in service again. because I feel like that she's probably already got it done. All the things that she was supposed to do is probably finished. But she's giving of herself deliberately, not haphazardly. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. That is precious to me, because I believe that Mary had a communication or a thought in her heart that this man won't be with us for very long. She had an insight there. And then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Somehow Mary knew that. She knew that he would not be there for long. And it said that there would people would talk about this. Do you realize when Jesus was taken down from the cross, they prepared his body to be buried. But there was not a chance to anoint his body. And she anointed his body. She took the time to perform this for the Lord. And she took of her money. And I've often wondered that that amount was considered a year's worth of wages. That 300 pence represents a year's worth of wages. Why was this costly spikenard put all over Jesus' feet? But Mary had chosen the good part. She had been a wise, cheerful investor. She didn't pour half of it out and say, I'll save the other half for another occasion. She poured all of it over his feet. She anointed his feet because she was a cheerful investor. She wasn't being stingy with her means, and she wasn't being stingy with her time, and she wasn't being stingy with her affections. She loved the Lord, and she wanted him to know it, because she was a cheerful giver. She was a cheerful investor. And this is what I want to point out to us today. The Lord is not so much concerned about the 5 loaves and the 2 fish or the 300 pence worth of spikenard. He's interested in the motive of your heart in giving it. Are you doing it out of duty, or are you doing it because you love the Lord? Because you want to give to him so that he can expand it in only supernatural way that he can do that. Oh, I want us to be cheerful givers. But you know, there's another character here who wasn't a cheerful giver, and it was Judas Iscariot. It's because he had become consumed with greed. And so he said these words, and these words may or not have been improper. Could this not have been given to the poor? Could this not have been invested in the poor? But it said right after that that he didn't care for the poor. He was only interested in the bag. And do you know, we can be the same way. We can be so concerned with the dollar and cents of this offering that we forget we're giving to the Lord. This was the Lord being anointed. Judas had lost sight of, he was in the presence of, the Son of God. And this is what we must learn here too, and to realize that Judas was not a cheerful giver or cheerful investor, but Mary was. So let us be as Mary and choose the good part. Mark, the 10th chapter, we have another instance. It says Mark 10 and 17, one that we're very familiar with. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? How can I invest in that far country? How can I invest in heaven? What can I do? And then Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. This man felt that lack. That's why he had come to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is the one thing that I know that I need to do? And he already had a great hunger within him. Even though he had kept the commandments, he had kept the commandments out of duty. He had kept them because he knew they were good for him to do. He didn't do it because of the cheerfulness of his heart in saying, I'm glad I don't commit adultery. I am glad I don't kill. I am glad for these commandments. He did them as an obligation. And it spilled over into his financial life too. And he says, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. That sounds like a worthy investment to me. Who wants eternal life? It's worth far more than the $10,000 I explained to you at first. We all want eternal life. But do you know the Lord wants a cheerful investor in eternal life? He doesn't want to have to just take it from you. He would really rather you give it to him cheerfully. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Do you know this man walked away from being with the Son of God? He walked away from eternal life over things that burn up, and these possessions he could not take with him. But it all started out with the motive of the heart. And the motive of his heart was stingy, really. Really. And you know, the Lord is wanting us to do different than that. That's not just a story. That was a happening. That man walked away from a chance at eternal life and a chance to... It said, he gave him the invitation, come, take up the cross and follow me. How wonderful to have got to be with the Son of God, Jesus. But he turned it down because the motive of his heart had not changed. So go with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And the 19th verse. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now that is a good investment. That is worthy of the motive of our hearts. To give to the Lord everything we have. It's not just financial that he's talking about here. He's talking about Mary spent her time with Jesus. Mary spent her affections on Jesus. Mary did, according to those around her, waste her substance on Jesus. But she was making an eternal investment. And she did it without regard for anything else. Do you know that's what the Lord wants out of our lives too? He wants us to understand and have a vision for our investments eternally. Lord, I don't want it just for me. I want it for my spouse. I want it for my children. I want it for everyone in the congregation. I want it for everyone that I meet. Everyone that I work with. I want this for them too. Lord, how can I invest? How can I give of myself cheerfully? I don't want to do it grudgingly. I want to give of myself to the work of the Lord. How can I give to lay up treasure in heaven? In Romans, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, Romans 12 and 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Cheerfully. There are some who do it grudgingly. What that means is to present your body a living sacrifice is from the first breath to the last. What is that saying? He gave me my first breath, I'll give him my last. But do you know all the time in between that first and last breath, are you willing to give him your body? Lord, just do with me what you want to do. Whether it might be affliction, a disease, or service, time. Am I cheerfully giving myself for the kingdom of God? Am I cheerfully saying, Lord, you do with me what you want to do with me? If you call me in a mission, if you call me to spread the gospel, if you call me just in a small place, Lord, I want to do it for you happily. I want to do it for you cheerfully. 2 Corinthians is where that scripture is found. The 9th chapter. And it starts kind of, let's just start with the 6th verse. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth grudgingly shall reap also grudgingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. He which soweth cheerfully shall reap also cheerfully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful investor. I desire that you pray for me. The Lord wants us to give of our time, our resources, our affections, our talents, our opportunities, our responsibilities, our inabilities, our limitations. Lord, I want to give it all to you. I'd like for us to sing song number 245, Consecration. This is a song that we think of usually about a sanctification song. But I want you to listen to the words and think of how can I do these things cheerfully. I desire you pray for me.